Do you find that patients who smoke, I don't smoke, I say we in the royal we, but do you find that we're more at risk for breast cancer?
Yeah, smoking and alcohol consumption. Yes.
To me, why did you have to say that? Because all the moms listening to podcasts have a glass of wine every night. Okay, most of us.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax.
Baby Brunch and the conversations that we have is always a great opportunity to talk about mums as well as our breasts and care for our breasts, and then my personal favorite, prevention of breast cancer. I'm Ilana and this is another Baby Brunch podcast and vodcast. You can follow us on babybrunch.co.za as well as our social media handles. And I'm so excited because we've got Tumi in our studio. Itumeleng Phiri, she is passionate about women's health and also prevention of breast cancer. You're passionate about breasts. I mean, even your research and the work that you're doing currently is all about women and these two favorite things that nurture our babies and that also makes us, I guess, look attractive.
Absolutely. Hi, Ilana. My name is Itumeleng Phiri, and absolutely, I'm very passionate about breast health, and I am a radiographer as well as a mammographer. So most of my time I spend seeing patients that are coming through for mammograms, and very fortunate for me, I've had the opportunity to do an MRI as well. So I can see patients from as they walk in, from doing a mammogram right through to an MRI if need be, as well as biopsies if need be.
I remember there was a time where when we talked about menopause, when we talked about retirement, cancer, in fact, any disease, we always thought that it happens to people that are older. You know, it doesn't affect us more and more. And even from our conversations here at Baby Brunch, where we did perimenopause, we realized that disease, ailments does not discriminate. Yeah. And we need to stay informed. Why do we have to only do a mammogram 40 years and up?
So most of the time when you're age under 40, your breasts are still very dense. And with a mammogram, there is radiation involved as well. So it is advisable that you only start at the age of 40. Under the age of 40, though, you can, if you feel like you're at risk or if you felt any abnormality in your breast, then you're more than welcome to do an ultrasound. There's no radiation there. And you can do an MRI, which is a bit more costly, but does show a lot in terms of the different aspects of the breast tissue.
It's only until recent that I realized that family history plays a huge role in our health as moms and as humans who just want to live our lives to the fullest. How important is family history determining our status in terms of breast cancer?
Yeah, unfortunately, family history plays a big role in it. There are gene tests that you can do to check if you've got that gene of breast cancer. But except breast family history, there's a whole lot of other things that are involved with breast cancer. I mean, ethnicity is one of them. Age is one of them. And it's very important that it's a holistic thing. It's not only one specific thing that causes breast cancer.
If you say ethnicity, I mean,
yeah.
Who's at risk?
So research has shown that certain races are more susceptible or at risk of breast cancer than other races. So the white race is more at risk than the black race, but that doesn't mean that the black race doesn't get it. I mean, I see patients all the time that come through that are black ladies, and that's why it is so important to always remember that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you have a family history or not. It is very important for you to keep checking your breasts. Self-examination is the number one. Monthly, you have to know what your breasts look like. So you have to familiarize yourself with your breasts. So look at yourself in the mirror all the time. do a self-check, even under the armpit. It's so important because sometimes people just check over the breast but forget to go under the armpit. So it's very important that you go under the armpit and around the breast. And also, it's important to do it monthly, and it's important to do it around the same time every month. Because remember, as women, we've got hormones and we've got menstruation. So with all of that, your breast also changes. I mean, when you've got your period, your breasts become heavier, they become more tender. So it's important that you always have a certain day, maybe after your period, where you check your breasts, and that will go a long way. That even before doing a mammogram. Most of the time, a patient has had a mammogram every year, and in 6 months, they come back and they're saying, I'm feeling a lump.
It's so interesting that you say that, because that has happened, that has happened, that has happened. Yeah. So I love what you are saying about in between your mammograms. I mean, you literally went from us being passionate about our breasts to self-examination. So it is that you can diarize it together with all the other things that we diarize. I mean, we're quick to note when your last period was. Why not just make a note of when you last checked your breasts?
Yeah. Absolutely. It is so important because you can go to clinics where they do a clinical examination of your breasts, but you can do that every 6 months. But as I said, the self-examination you do monthly, and that is free. You don't have to go pay anyone, and that is important. I mean, we don't always have money to go and see a health professional. So if you're doing a self-check, you can see if you can feel if there's a lump. You can see if your skin has changed, because skin change is a big thing. It's called, some people present with the orange peel. So it sort of looks like you've got like something that has bitten you or something. And that is very important. You can see my skin has changed. This breast doesn't look the same. The size, the nipple. Sometimes your nipple will start having discharge. And that is a big thing. If your nipple starts having discharge, then immediately you have to see your health professional. So it's very important that if you're doing your self-check, you'll be able to see the difference, first of all, between your two breasts. And also, you'll be able to see that my breast doesn't look like it, how it's supposed to look.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Some of us have our babies later in life. I'm an older mom, and, you know, I've got teenagers. I've got a 20-year-old, and then I've got littlies as well. So do we treat our breasts differently because we've had our babies later? Is there a way to take care of your breasts when you've got older kids and younger ones? I mean, does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. We all have to look after our breasts exactly the same way. I mean, I know that I've had patients that have said if they've got bigger breasts, it's more difficult to actually do a self-examination. But we all have to look after breasts exactly the same way. I mean, when you're a younger mom, it's actually, I know breastfeeding, when I was at Varsity, our lecturers used to say breastfeeding is one of the preventative measures of breast cancer. So if you're breastfeeding your children up till the age of one and above, that actually, even research has shown that that actually brings down the risk of breast cancer. So whether you're a young mom, whether you're an old mom, look after your breasts exactly the same way.
Itumeleng, you really gave me some insight there when you said, you know, there's a time where you're not going to have a mammogram. A whole year passes, and in that time, a lot has happened. I know of two cases where it was actually the partners that detected the issue in the breast because they were either holding on or playing or watching television or intercourse, whatever the case was.
Yeah.
But they were the ones noticing the issue and not the person carrying them.
Yeah. Yep. I've actually had patients as well that have come through for a mammogram, and they've said to me, you know, I didn't feel anything. But it's also because as women, most of the time, we're always in a rush. I mean, we're always rushing to get the kids ready. We're always rushing to make food. So we actually never take time to like 2 minutes to just go through our best. Because when we're sitting with our husbands, it's sort of like a downtime.
Mm-hmm.
That's why most of the time the patients have said that it was my husband that felt it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even see. Sometimes they'll say, I don't even see that my nipple had gone in, or my nipple was looking different to the other one, but my husband's the one that noticed it.
Right.
So it happens quite often.
This benefits us if we start getting to know our bodies.
Absolutely.
So check your breasts out, know what they look like, and we'll be able to notice problems earlier.
Absolutely.
What are we looking for? So if you self-examine, you know, what are we looking for to either know that your breasts are healthy or that they're not?
You know, first of all, you need to lift your arm up like that.
Okay.
And if you check in the left breast, you use your right hand.
Right. So arm is up in a V behind your head, and with the other hand, you are examining.
Yes.
Right.
And as you're palpating, you go from under the armpit around the breast. And this is for you to feel if there's any lumps.
Right.
So most of the time when you are feeling like that, that is how you will feel if there's a nodule or if there's something round. Some people say it felt like a marble. Or,
it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some people, everybody describes it differently, but that will help you. And also some people say as you're coming around and you're doing that, that's when, if you've got discharge.
So for those of you who are listening on the podcast, so Tumi just went around as if she's going clockwise, literally, around the breast area.
Yeah. Okay. So as you're coming around by the nipple, when you've got nipple discharge, as you are coming around, the nipple discharge will sort of ooze out. And then that's when also you'll see there's a problem. So the breast examination will help with the lump, feeling a lump. But please remember, a lump doesn't necessarily mean that it's breast cancer.
Mm.
So you have benign lumps and you've got malignant ones. And benign ones are the ones that literally can be taken out and it's not cancer and it's nothing to worry about. Sometimes they even leave it in and they say there's nothing to worry about. But the malignant ones are the ones where it is breast cancer and further examinations will be needed. But as I was saying, the lump first. So it's the lump, it's your skin, the different type of skin, like you'll see orange peel, the nipple discharge. So it's those kind of things that you're looking for when you're doing your self-examination every month.
Immediately, I'm thinking of some of our other conversations that we've had in the studio and beyond, you know, breastfeeding and seeing how our babies can be fed through these miracle boobs, you know?
Yeah.
For moms who are breastfeeding, I mean, are there specific care or recommendations that you can make? I always say, does hygiene play a role? What have you experienced in practice? I mean, breastfeeding moms, how can we take care of our boobs?
I mean, with breastfeeding, it's always, hygiene is a big thing with breastfeeding. But from a mammographer's point of view, we don't, unless a mom has said, while I was breastfeeding, I felt something.
Mm.
And obviously, the first thing they must do is go to a health professional. And a health professional will then examine to see whether it's necessary to do, one, an ultrasound, two, a mammogram. But when you're breastfeeding, your breasts are already so full. And when you're breastfeeding, your breasts are already so tender. So most of the time, my advice would be to go to a health professional and have them check out what could be the problem with your breasts. Because most of the time, it's very rare that we'll do a mammogram on a patient that is breastfeeding. Mm. Unless they're coming from their doctor and their doctor has said definitely there seems to be something there.
Okay. Immediately, I'm thinking of some of our moms and parents who've been listening to Baby Brunch for the past 9 years. In 2025, this podcast is 10 years old. So I'm thinking from, you know, those babies are now 8, 9, and 10 years old.
Wow.
So at what age do we start creating conversation to our daughters around their breasts and even to our sons? Because breast cancer and awareness of breasts is not just a female conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Males can also get breast cancer. And I mean, I'm actually glad that you're saying sons, because it's actually when you see patients coming through and they're men, they because everything in the female clinic is pink and it's female only, it actually becomes like the patients feel out of place. But the men should know that at the end of the day, it's important for them to come forth, because what we see is a patient already comes and it's almost like it's nearly too late for them to come. And it's obviously because they, I don't know if I should say they're scared of coming, because it's not, it's people don't know that men can get it, but men can get it. And when they come through, we do a mammogram on them, and some of them we do find breast cancer. So it's very important that even men know their bodies, because we obviously are very passionate about women's health, but it's also very important for men to look after themselves, because they can also leave things, brush things off. And that's what we see quite often. So coming back to your question of daughters, it's very important from when your child gets the breast pop up, it's important for them to look after their breast. It's important to have bras that fit nicely. I'm not a bra expert, but I've heard a lot of professionals actually saying that sometimes when patients present and they say, I've got breast pain, and they're worried, oh my gosh, do I have cancer because I've got this breast pain? And sometimes it's the bra that's not fitting so nicely.
So it's an incorrect bra, but yes, they think that they have this ailment.
Yes, and sometimes it's breast pain, and sometimes it actually radiates, like I've got pain on my shoulder or whatever, but it actually is the bra size. So it's important to have the breast talk with your daughters. It's important to go and have the bra measurements so that you're wearing the correct bra, because that's also a very important thing.
Or just go braless.
Or just go braless.
Timmy, do you know how many meals I've cooked in that house without a bra? Okay.
That makes two of us.
No one could care less. When they don't see us, they don't see us. Okay.
No.
As long as we showered, we smell good, you know, we're happy, joyful.
And listen, I can tell you that most women will tell you the first thing I do when I walk into the house is take my bra off.
Do you know that I took my bra off on the highway the other day? I'm not even kidding. Listen, I'm a brilliant driver, okay? No, I bought these bras that you can wear them with a, it's strapless, but it has a very low cleavage. So it's actually designed for evening dresses.
Yeah.
But goodness knows why I bought mine, obviously, one size too small. So it does a very good pop-up, but it squeezes my ribs. It squeezes the life out of me, man. And I was on the phone to my husband, actually. I was like, this thing's got to go. And with one hand, next minute, I had no more neighbors next to me in that lane. Okay? they were like, what is this woman doing? Okay, there's a lot we need to consider when we think of our breasts. I wanna go to implants. I've wanted implants before. I don't think it's necessary. I don't have the desire to have them anymore. I know a lot of women that are very happy with theirs. I know of some that have removed theirs because they were unhappy with their implants. Mm. I've seen some of even my health experts, you know, we meet a lot of people with this podcast where they say, you know what, I've done it and they don't feel natural or normal.
Yeah.
With breast implants, I mean, how does the mammography process differ? Is it different?
It is absolutely different. So with a normal, let me not say normal breast, because even the implants are normal.
Yeah.
But if you don't have implants, then we take two pictures on the one breast and two pictures on the other breast. But when you've got implants, then we need pictures of, first of all, the actual breast tissue.
Mm.
And second of all, the actual implant.
Wow.
So it differs, number one, because there's more images to be taken with the breast implant.
Okay.
Number two, the amount of compression that we give with the implant is definitely less than what we give when you don't have an implant. Because we do worry that we don't want to pop your implant, but experts have said we can't pop it. But we always just go very, very gently with the patient. And we always, it's important also to see the breast tissue that's sitting in front of the implant.
Okay.
So it's definitely different.
So if you do have an implant, and the reason I'm asking this question is because I know of a few friends that have implants and they don't want to go for their mammogram.
Please they must not worry about it. They please must come for their mammograms because we take a lot of precaution with our implant patients. We explain very nicely what we're going to do. And the machine, because now we're using a mammogram that has got a 3D, there isn't so much compression that we have to put. Yes, we need compression, but the amount of compression that we use is not like in the olden days where we used to use cassettes and films and where we had to see the image afterwards. So this one is a 3D mammogram, and we take the picture and we see it immediately. So because we don't give a lot of compression, the 3D helps.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would really urge them to please come through for their mammograms. It's quite important.
If you switch this podcast on and you've been listening to it over 2 days, perhaps, well, Tumi is still in my studio and we care about our health and yours, and we care about our breasts. What kind of preventative measures, other than mammograms, self-search, and taking care of our breasts, is there anything else that we can do to make sure that we've really tried to maintain breast health?
So it's important that we keep ourselves healthy. So a healthy, balanced diet is quite important. Exercising. We have to exercise because BMI, if your BMI is too high, then that is also a risk of getting breast cancer. So I would say just general looking after yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you find that patients who smoke, that we are more at risk? I don't smoke. I say we in the royal we. But do you find that we're more at risk for breast cancer?
Yeah, smoking and alcohol consumption. Yes.
To me, why did you have to say that? Because all the moms listening to podcasts have a glass of wine every night. Okay, most of us. alcohol?
No, even alcohol. I mean, a glass of wine is not the same as heavy drinking.
I got you.
So it's just heavy drinking. And that also, unfortunately, obesity, alcohol consumption, smoking, those are all risks to breast cancer.
When we talk about breast cancer awareness, I mean, we always preach breast cancer awareness in October because that's our month where we dedicate it to. I say, let's just keep the conversation going, you know?
Absolutely.
When we can be educated by you and all of our other experts, we really enjoy it because it just gives us a sense of awareness and where to look and where to look to. What kind of treatment? So now I've gone for my mammography. What happens next?
So in the mammogram department, we will do a mammogram and our radiologist will have a look at it. If need be, most of the time it goes along with an ultrasound. Then an ultrasound will obviously say if there's anything that was missed on the mammogram. If there is an abnormality that they've seen, then the ultrasound will confirm what it is. And from there, then they'll decide if there is a lump that looks malignant, they'll decide whether they're going to do a core biopsy or whether they'll do an MRI to investigate it further. Mm. But that's the radiology part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of early detection, do you find in mammography and in radiology that your patients are getting younger?
You know, the young patients are coming through. I think the message is going out on early detection. Mm. And I think a lot of patients are now being aware that it's not only older people that can get it. It's young people as well. I mean, I actually get goosebumps when I think about it because sometimes I get someone that says, I've just had a baby and they found this thing. So, early detection is definitely the way to go because the earlier the breast cancer is found, the better your chances of treatment and survival ultimately.
I have two friends this year that has lost both their breasts. And then they are recommended now to get it back. They get their C-cup back and they've got their prosthesis in or their replacement boobs. Do we still go for our mammograms?
You know, so some doctors feel that the patient can just have an ultrasound, but most of the time, the patient, some doctors actually feel there is there isn't a need because there's no breast tissue. Now they've removed the breast tissue. But personally, I have done a patient where it was replacement boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we just treated like doing a normal implant mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is there was no breast tissue.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You go for your mammogram and there's an infection. Can the mammogram see it?
So most of the time when a patient's got an infection, their breasts are normally swollen. So the health professional will have to look and see if that infection requires a mammogram.
Okay.
Because remember, a mammogram can see a lump and it can see whether that lump is benign or malignant. A mammogram can see calcifications. So with calcifications, there'll also be these different types of calcifications. So if the patient has got an infection in the breast, a healthcare professional, their doctor will have to look at them and decide whether after the clinical breast examination, they'll have to decide whether a mammogram will show anything or not.
If your breasts are engorged, you know, baby's trying to feed, is that a reason for a mammogram?
No. So for engorged breasts, when it comes to breastfeeding, most of the time, again, it would be advisable to see whether it's a nurse, a healthcare professional, or your doctor, your general practitioner, to actually see that that is no other infection besides the engorgement of breastfeeding.
It is such a blessing, but we are so worried when it comes to taking care of them. What advice do you have for our moms, our partners, our husbands, and everyone listening to this conversation with regards to our breasts and breast cancer prevention?
So for preventative measures, it's important, number one, a healthy diet is important. Number two, exercise regularly. That's also very important. Number three, your self-check. That is the golden one. Do your self-check. Number four, you can go to a clinic every about 6 months if you are at risk. If you're a high-risk patient where you are feeling that your family's got breast cancer and you are worried. I mean, we can't do a mammogram every 6 months.
Mm.
So just the self-check and a clinic check would be sufficient.
Right.
And every year, do a mammogram. So annually, we do have patients that come, especially that are high-risk patient. If a patient comes through annually and there isn't anything to worry about, the radiologist is not worried about anything, then a yearly check is fine. But if the patient, a two-year check is fine, biannual. But if a patient is at high risk, and if the patient's got family history, and if the patient has got any other risks that are like, you could, some risks are like when you're over the age of 40 and all that, then you have to do it every year.
Okay.
So number one, I'd say biannually is only if there's nothing wrong with the initial mammogram that you're taking and you're not at risk. And your family history, you don't have any family history. But you know, funny enough, let me just tell you about the family history. It shouldn't be the only reason why you are doing your mammogram. I've had patients that have never had a family history. So no one in their family has had breast cancer and they are the first ones.
Mm.
So we shouldn't think that just because there isn't anyone in my family, then I've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
So we all have to keep thinking about our breasts, keep checking our breasts, because you might actually leave it and not check. And then the next thing, you are the first one in the family to have breast cancer. So yearly, if there's a family history and if there's other risks, and biannually, if there's no family history, there's no concerns, and your initial mammogram was actually fine.
Many years ago here on Baby Brunch, we had one of our moms. I've actually never told the story. We were interviewing her to do an interview with her. And the Monday that we needed to do the recording, she passed. She was a cancer survivor.
Oh, wow.
And 6 months later, we checked in with her husband. And they were doing fine at the time. You know, they were okay. So cancer really comes to affect all of us, not just on this recording, but in our own lives.
Absolutely.
What encouragement do we give to our survivors and even the families of our cancer survivors?
Just lots of support, and always reach out if there's anything that you are not sure about, if any concerns that you're sure about, even if you are the partner to someone that has been diagnosed with the cancer, do the research on their part, reach out to health professionals. And just as a community, it is so important to just encourage each other, support each other, give love, show love, and also help where you can. If they are this, I mean, in the community, sometimes someone doesn't know where to do their mammograms. They don't know that there is a problem until it's too late. So it's very important that we support each other. I think that is the main thing, just giving support to each other. Even the people where they've lost their loved ones due to cancer. It's not nice. It's really not. And it would be very important for us to just be there for each other.
Mm-hmm. To me, as someone who understands our breasts, that works in mammography, in education, in radiology, what other message do you have for all of our mums and for us to take care of our bodies?
So prevention is key. We have to try and look after ourselves because that is a preventative measure. Early detection is key because if you find it early, then we can help you in reducing the risk of mortality, of treating the cancer while it's still early. Reach out. It's important to reach out to health professionals. For instance, in October, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we are encouraging everybody to look after your breasts. Come out for a mammogram. Mm-hmm. I know that there are people that think that it is painful. It's not painful. We really look after our patients. And if not a mammogram because you're under 40, then an ultrasound. But reach out, come through, look after yourselves. And at the end of the day, if it's found on time, then we can help.
Itumeleng, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Ilana. Thank you so much. I appreciate being here. I hope that we've helped someone. And I hope that if you ever had any concerns about mammograms or not sure whether you must go for a mammogram, I hope that I've answered some questions. And I hope that this podcast will be able to drive you to go into doing your mammogram if you're over the age of 40 and actually looking after your breasts. Just familiarizing yourself with your breasts. They are special and we love our boobs.
Yes. We love our boobs and we love education. Itumeleng Phiri joining us in our studio for Baby Brunch for this and many more insightful conversations. I'm just thinking of Sadia's family at this stage as well. We're sending lots of love. You can visit babybrunch.co.za.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.